Right on Radio.
Right on Radio.
Narrating the end of the world.
The end of the world.
This news just in.
Ready? Go.
We are your news now. Providing the play-by-play for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right on, right on, right on. Live right.
Live right.
In the real world. Right on Radio.
For continuous coverage, the latest information, separate fact from opinion. Get the truth.
Get the news.
You're listening to Right on Radio.
Hey, welcome to Right On Radio. My name is Jeff. That song implied that the world is full of confusion. And yet 1 Corinthians 14 verses 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." The title of this show is "I Am a Real Prophet of God." I'm not trying to add any confusion. In fact, I'm going to explain very clearly. So this is one I hope you don't get judgmental without at least hearing the words. You're going to get a lot of scripture today. If it's not your thing, then this is not for you. But the purpose of this is to alleviate confusion. And I believe it's going to be very clear. Let me start with a number of scriptures. I'm going to start with Acts chapter 20, 28 to 30. By the way, this is a good one to take notes in. Pause. Get a pen and a paper, and just at least write down the scriptures. They will tell the story. "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 to 3, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve with his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." Revelation 2, verses 2. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you have found them to be false. Acts 17, verse 11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to which is good. John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. There has not been a person that has done greater things than Jesus. There just hasn't. But the Lord is not a liar. Greater can mean many things. Now he says doing the same things he did. He preached. In these days of the internet, we have the ability to preach to tens of thousands, millions of people at a time. And if we're reading the Word of God, is that greater than what he did? Perhaps. There is no one greater. And there's a lot of people out there saying that you are the Christ and you are not. And they take this scripture out of context. They are wrong. I don't mean to make a joke of this. But if you want to talk about greater things, well, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. So if you were to wash the feet of your disciples and perhaps give them a pedicure and massage their legs, would that be greater than his act? No. It would not have been. Because your heart could not be possibly as pure and as spotless as the Lamb of God that gave up his life for the remission of your sins. And you're going to find out that this is what this is all about. Of course. Let me address the background of this particular episode. About 4 weeks ago today, I felt very strongly that I received instruction from the Lord to teach on this subject, which is, what is prophecy? What is false prophecy? How can you tell the difference? How are you to react? And what are you supposed to do? And I know it was from God because it came instantly. And I knew, Not that I had a download of exactly, go to John, go to Acts, go to this, go to that. But I knew exactly what the message is to be. And I'm going to give that message to you today. And it was good. However, at the same time, I felt strongly that I was told to name this episode exactly as it is named now. And the Lord is never wrong. However, I did not want to do it because of the title and the implication that people will get from the title. I will tell you that I have struggled with this for the last month. I have sought counsel. I have prayed about it endlessly. My sight went away so I could concentrate more. And I'm going to explain the exact meaning of the title to you before this program ends. And truthfully, I did not understand what it was until just about an hour prior to doing this recording. God knew that I had wrestled with him over this. And he brought me through a huge learning curve through all of this. It was upsetting to me. I'm telling you the truth. This has not been an easy task, but it has been a joyful one. This is a teaching. However, when I got that, what I'll just for lack of better term, that download of what the teaching would be, I did get a prophetic word that I'm going to read to you before the conclusion of this. Also, I will tell you, part of my struggle and wrestling with God over the title of this is I thought foolishly, of course I did. I thought foolishly that this was partially about me. And it's not at all. The only part of this about me is that was I willing to teach this lesson? That's it. However, in my foolishness, I said, well, God, and I know God speaks through people in their language, okay? That's one thing you need to understand is he will use you and he will use you and your giftings and your talents that he has given you. And one of the things that he allowed me to do previously in my life was marketing and branding and all of that stuff. And I realized immediately, of course, that the title, I am a real prophet of God, is an audacious statement. It's a big statement. And I also know that if you're going to make a big statement, you'd better be able to back it up. So I pleaded with God, give me a word then. Give me something that is from you. And, well, I guess just before Sunday's broadcast, the Lord said to me, well, you've been claiming for over a year in speaking prophetically that it is all about a person's will and intent. There you go. Okay. Seriously, God has a sense of humor. But it is a proper prophetic utterance. So what is prophecy? Let's get some definitions before I get into some teachings to lay a proper foundation for you. First of all, prophecy can be simply one who speaks as a messenger of God. Okay? But if we go into the Greek translation, the meaning of prophecy is to foretell, to tell forth, is to prophesy. So a usage of that would be, I foretell, prophesy. I set forth matter of divine teaching faculty. Let's break that up even further. The declaration of future events pertaining to the Word of God is foretelling. So foretelling is the declaration of future events pertaining to the Word of God. Forthtelling is speaking something that can only be of divine revelation, clarity of God's Word revealed. I'm just going to park here for a couple minutes. Oftentimes when I'm studying for the Sunday Bible study in particular, I will get a deeper meaning of God's Word. And then I'll research that. But sometimes during the broadcast, something will hit me right then and then, and that is from God, that's from the Holy Spirit, and I ask him to do this because I pray for it in his name, and is it in his will for you to get deeper revelation of the Word of God? Yes, it is, as long as it is true. So there is more clarity of God's Word revealed. Now, this happens to you if you study all the time. Oh my goodness, I never saw that word. What does that word mean? And it's exciting and you get filled. This is the spirit of prophecy. Now, sometimes you can have, I hate using these NAR words, a word of knowledge or something like that, but let's say you're speaking with someone and they're sharing their heart and perhaps a difficulty in which they are experiencing at the time. And because you have been studying the Word of God, which is how God speaks to you or confirms that voice in your head, you might just have a verse that happens to be a promise of God that you can present to that person in their time of trouble. But you don't say, thus saith the Lord, because those days are gone. You will see that prophecy is a gift. And if you were given a prophecy, that word of encouragement for that person in distress, and you want to quote one of the promises of God to that person, it isn't, thus saith the Lord. Prophecy is a gift, so you give it as a gift. And it's up to that person to receive the gift, to challenge the gift, or do with it as they will. So continuing on with revelation, what does that word mean? To uncover. To bring to light, to reveal. And there's one thing that all prophecy will have in common. It will always point to God. Lastly, in our definitions, we're told a lot of things. We're told to test the spirits. We're told to discern these things. But what does discern mean? And this will tie into testing the spirits. It means, first of all, to judge. If you are to discern something, you are to judge it. What do you have to do to judge it? You need to properly investigate and test according to God's word. One of the things that I did in preparation for this is I reached out to the prayer team, all the admins and mods that are good people, knowledgeable in the Word of God, every one of them. And they are wise, and they take it seriously. And I received a lot of feedback from them, because I laid out essentially what this was about and my hesitancy, everything. I just laid it out. I just told the truth from what I saw at the time when I spoke it to them. And one of them decided to do even a great Bible study on this. And I want to share some of what she had come up with, because I wasn't going to spend so much time in the Old Testament. I was really focusing on the New, and I'm going to get to the scriptures that are highlighted that the Lord gave me specifically for this teaching. But this is good, and because faith and our walk in the truth is not a solo sport, it is a team effort. I am foolish when handed good, great material, not to use it. Because iron sharpens iron, and we are better together, and we get the most out of God together when we contribute. I want to share this with you because I think it will be good for you to give you further understanding. Now, I haven't double-checked all of these particular verses with the statement made before it. I will tell you that, but they all seem to be in line with what I know. And I've went through a lot of scripture, so I'm just letting you know where I did not go through it. The message of a prophet is to reveal the nature and attributes of God to men. That is Leviticus 19, verses 1 to 4. To make known to men the laws of God. Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17. To call the people back to obedience to God's laws. 2 Chronicles 24, 18. The Lord sent prophets among them to lead them back to him. They warned the people, but they would not pay attention. The message of a prophet is also to exhort the people to sincerity in worship. An example of this is found in Jeremiah 7, verses 1 to 11. It's also to warn them of divine judgment upon sin, both personal and national. Jeremiah 36, verses 30 to 31. In Jeremiah 30, verses 1 to 3, it is to foretell the future events which God had willed. Number 7 is to foretell the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, Isaiah 9, verse 6. To record the history of God's dealings with men, Deuteronomy 31, 9 to 13. To record the word of God in the Holy Scriptures, and the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in the book and rehearse it in Joshua's hearing, for I will surely wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. Exodus 17, verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Exodus 34, 27. And then there's commentary here. All prophets were to be tested, thus concerning the origin of their words and the meaning and the purpose of their teachings. That teaching must come from Jehovah. It must be true to the earlier revelation of the character of Jehovah, and it must be designed to encourage men to be faithful to Jehovah. Put these points together and you will find God's method for testing the credentials of a true prophet. It's important for me to note to you that we are in a new covenant now, and that will be explained shortly. But it is the same God yesterday as today, and God is unchanging. His covenant with us has changed, but he is unchanging. So in testing the credentials for a true prophet, he must be a true Israelite. He must speak in the name of the Lord. He must call men to living obedience to Jehovah and worship of Jehovah. He must be tested and vindicated by the fulfillment of predictions made by him in the name of God, by the authority of God, and in keeping with the character of God. This explains why the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament were members of the Hebrew Israelite people. Apart from these biblical prophets and apostles, no man has ever been known to fulfill the divine requirements laid down in the above verses. Many men have claimed to be leaders, teachers, and prophets, but when we examine their credentials, we find that they were not members of the Hebrew race, nor did they speak in the name of Jehovah. Thus, the Bible alone contains the authentic teachings of God's chosen messengers, prophets, and apostles. And although the message of the Bible is not a popular one that appeals to the hearts of proud men, it is the word of God and shows the way to eternal life. And there is one final comment, which is vital importance to this study. We have noted that God revealed the criteria for the recognition of a true prophet. But the verses in Deuteronomy 18 go further than that. They contain the definite prediction of the coming of a specific prophet. The Jews always understood this verse to be clear promise concerning the coming Messiah. This is clear from the following verses. Read, for example, John 1, 19 to 23, and note that when John the Baptist began to preach, he was asked, are you the prophet? Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem and asked him, who are you? He confessed. He did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? Tell us so that we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John said, I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, Make straight the way for the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Also in John 6:14, we see how the people, impressed by the power of Jesus, said, now when the people saw miraculous signs that Jesus performed, they began to say to one another, this is certainly the prophet who is to come into the world. In John 7, verse 40, again, the people said, when they heard these words, some of the crowd began to say, this really is the prophet. It is clear the Jewish people expected a precise and personal fulfillment of this prophecy, and when John the Baptist appeared, they thought he was the prophet. But John humbly disclaimed that honor and directed the attention to Jesus. So they asked John, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not recognize, who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. These things happened in Bethany across the Jordan River where John was baptizing. On the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this is the one about whom I said, after me comes a man who is greater than I am, because he existed before me. John chapter 1. 24 to 30. The people then recognized Jesus as the prophet. The people were right in thus recognizing Jesus as the prophet. The apostle Peter clearly taught us that the great prediction was completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We read, therefore, repent and turn back that your sins may be wiped out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and so that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus. The one heaven must receive until all things that are restored, which God declared from times long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must obey him and everything he tells you. Every person that does not obey that prophet will be destroyed and thus removed from the people. And all the prophets from Samuel and those who followed him have spoken about and announced these days. You are the sons of the prophets of the covenant that God made with your ancestors, saying to Abraham, and in your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each one from your iniquities. Acts 3, verses 19 to 26. This one short paragraph, then, in Deuteronomy 18 contains remarkable truth. It sets out for all time the criteria for the recognition of a true prophet and also a prediction of the coming of the true prophet, a prediction which was finally and perfectly fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the Jews, he fulfilled the conditions of the prediction in Deuteronomy, and thus his disciples accepted him as the promised prophet and Messiah. So certain is this fact that Apostle Peter said, every person who does not obey that prophet will be destroyed and removed from the people. This is a solemn warning to those who reject the claims of Jesus Christ. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. Hebrews verses 1 and 2. All things have been revealed. The book is complete. But does that mean that prophecy is dead? Not at all. I want to tell you that when I was asked to teach on this, part of how I know it came from God was it came with a very heavy conviction. You see, I have spoke out against many of the false TV prophets, YouTube prophets, and I don't regret or rescind a single word. They are provably false. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I really think that they have an agenda, as sweet as some of them might seem. But I had a conviction from God that I hope I did not lead any of you astray to think that God cannot speak today, because he still does. There is just no new revelation. We can have deeper insights into the revelation that is already in God's word. We can have deeper insights. A century ago, people would not have been able to even conceive some of the deeper truths that we now see in Scripture, because time has advanced certain things in this world, and things that people couldn't even imagine 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, now seem all too possible. One of the very first scriptures that the Lord gave me in this, and I knew exactly what it was, comes from Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. This is when Jesus was on the cross. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice on the cross. This is important for you to understand. At that moment, when Jesus gave up his spirit, he completed the task of being the Lamb of God. And all of our sins are forgiven because of his shed blood on that cross. Until our sins are forgiven by the Lord, which means you must repent, accept the Lord as your Savior, acknowledge what he did on the cross. Until you do those things, you are not clean of sin. But once you are clean of sin, because Jesus did that for you on the cross. Jesus made the Holy Spirit available to you. And the Holy Spirit can now dwell within you. When the veil ripped, that was the veil that went into the Holy of Holies in the temple where no man could go except for the one that was chosen, like once a year or whatever it was, to go in there, to have that intimacy with God. Now, this is true intimacy with God because God dwells inside of you. And when that veil was ripped, it took the barrier away from man to God. And I found it interesting in reading that, again, one of those deeper truths when we study the Word of God. Why would he say it was written from the top to the bottom, the veil? Because it was from on high. It didn't come from below. John chapter 14. These things I have spoken to you while remaining with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I have said to you. I read Hebrews 1 and 2 already, but I'm going to read them again. But in context, this is important. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, to the extent that he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So, if God speaks through us through his fulfilled book and through his Holy Spirit, what about us? You know, one of the very first clues that we have is in the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. Is in the old covenant, who were the great men of God? Put the answer in chat if you can. What title did they carry? I'm not asking you all the names. Just what title? They all had one title in common. While I'm waiting for you to type it in there, let me remind you that I really do appreciate your comments. I don't reply to all of them, but I always hit a thumbs up to say I've read it, at least. Sometimes I'll reply, depends on time and currently the condition of my eyes. But I really do appreciate, good or bad. I just like to get feedback. When I get zero feedback, I don't know if I'm serving you properly. So they all carried the title prophet. Even David, right? He was a king. He was a shepherd. He was a prophet. But in the New Testament, John, who was the one crying out in the wilderness, said he wasn't a prophet. He just said he was the one crying out in the wilderness. Now, he technically kind of was a prophet, but he didn't say he was. He didn't want to take any thing, right? But I think John is a good visual of what someone really crying out the word of God looks like in this world. They're not your fancy TV $1,000 suit guys. In the New Testament, Jesus didn't go searching the land for the great learned people of the law who were prophesying in the street, and there were people prophesying in the street. You can be sure of that. That's never stopped. Jesus didn't surround himself with prophets. He surrounded himself with everyday men and made them disciples who are disciplined learners in the way. They later got the title of apostle. And this show is not about apostles. It's a heated subject in the church right now. I will address it one day, because I'm confident I've searched out the answers for you before. But let me just say, it's a governmental type of position. The way it's abused by the NAR is if an apostle says something, it's actually new revelation. It's greater than the word of God. That is heresy. These men better repent or they will go to hell. Men and women doing that, actually. The women apostles. Oh, my goodness. Are there apostles today? Yeah, I think so. I think the best definition of an apostle is a church planter. And he's like a governance. If there are four elders in a church and they are not deciding on a doctrinal way to go in the church, they could approach the apostle of the church, the one who planted it. And that person will most likely be given the favor of God to settle any disputes. But the sign that I'm telling you is Jesus got disciples and apostles. They didn't go from disciples to prophets. Now, did they prophesy? Absolutely they did. Were they messengers of God? Yes, they wrote the New Testament. That was prophecy. So what is our instruction from the Lord today about prophecy? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. You may prophesy. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, exhortation, and consolation. The one who speaks in the tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And it is to reveal the nature and attributes of God to men. it. God desires that all should prophesy. Let me explain to you the title of this particular teaching. First of all, I should have seen it. See, I pictured, when I was told this, I pictured the title as it was given to me, with a picture of me on the thumbnail. And that's the way it's being displayed to you. So that's what was given to me. And it forced me to wrestle with God. First of all, the biggest clue should have been the first two words. I am. There is only one who declares himself as the I am. And when he says the real, well, something can't be real unless it's true. God is the truth. There is no truth found outside of him. He is the real truth. Jesus came as that prophet that was foretold about. Yes, he's the Messiah. I'm not putting him as a lesser title, but it was appropriate when they recognized him as the prophet. And Jesus, being God in a man's body, was prophesying. He was being a messenger of God. Jesus only did the will of his Father. And that's where you get the of God part. So when the title came to me, and listen, I wrestled with God so much in this. I even made a deal with God. Give me a different title, and I got a different title that I think he wasn't compromising. It would have been less impactful. But I think he did it because he loved me and I wanted to be obedient, but I could not because I did not understand. So you got the original title, I am a real prophet of God. Let me read to you a prophetic word in closing. It is an entire chapter, and I'm going to just present this to you as a gift. I believe it comes from God, and if you're hearing this, I believe it's a gift of God, from God, to you. I am just a willing vessel to read his words. Just a quick drink of water, excuse me. Joel chapter 2. Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Indeed, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great and mighty people. There has never seen anything like it, nor will be again after it. To the years of many generations, a fire consumes before them, and behind them a flame devours. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but a desolate wilderness behind them, and nothing at all escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses, so they run. With a noise as of chariots, they leap about on tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of the fire-consuming stubble, like a mighty people drawn up for battle. Before them, people are in anguish, all faces turn pale. They run like warriors, they climb the wall like soldiers, and each of them marches in line, nor do they lose their way. They do not crowd each other, every warrior of them marches in his path. And when they burst through the defenses, they do not break ranks. They storm the city, they run on the wall, they climb into the houses, they enter through the windows like a thief. Before them, the earth quakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon become dark, and the stars lose their brightness. The Lord utters his voice before his army. His camp is indeed very great. For mighty is the one who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. And who can endure it? Yet even now, declares to the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And tear your heart, and not merely your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, and relenting of catastrophe. Who knows, he might turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, resulting in a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Have the groom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, Lord, and do not make your inheritance a disgrace. With the nations jeering at them, why should those among the people say, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land, and he will have compassion for his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I am going to send you a grain, new wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied in full with them. And I will never again make you a disgrace among the nations. But I will remove the northern army from you, and I will drive into a dry and desolate land. Its advance guard into the eastern sea, and its right guard into the western sea. And its stench will ascend, and its odor will decay, come up. because it has done great things. Do not fear, land. Shout for joy and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness have turned green. For the tree produced its fruit, the fig tree and the vine have yielded in full. So shout for joy, you sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has brought you down for the rain, the early latter rain as before. And threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Then I will compensate you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. So you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. And my people will never be put to shame. It will come about after this that I will pour my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape, just as the Lord has said, even among survivors whom the Lord calls. I'm tempted to give you some interpretation of that. I will just say this. The way it's twisted by the Gnar people, it's twisted. You should study these words. You know, there are two prophets that are going to appear in the very end days. The book of Revelation says the two witnesses. They will be prophesying. I happen to think we will not be here. I think they come right after we go. That's my thought. We don't need to argue about it. But in that time, the world will have the two witnesses, the 144,000, and there's going to be three angels that just go around the world telling people of the goodness of Jesus Christ. The Lord doesn't forsake the entire world. And even when the wrath of God is complete, there will be people still living. probably in bunkers. They'll come out and we'll be ruling them. Hallelujah. I hope you understand the differences between prophecy of the Old Testament and prophecy in the New Testament. And I hope you understand that all of them, it just seems, I can't think of one that is real at this point in time. By the way, in the old days, to be a prophet, you had to be an Israelite. Well, now, if you're born again, you are an Israelite. So you're in the family. So even the Gentiles can give a prophetic word. God is not to be put in a box or contained in any ways. His word addresses almost every situation. And I think as far as prophecy goes, I've addressed many of them here today. So if there is an instruction, and if God is a messenger, or if Paul is a messenger of God, when he says that God desires that all should prophesy, and that's just one of the gifts. Accept that gift. And when you're talking with someone who's in distress or even who doesn't know the Lord, ask the Lord for a word. And it's going to be based on his word. And it's going to be pointing to him. But do it for the edification and the building of the church, which is your commission. I know there's a lot of scripture and just a lot of me talking, but I pray that you got something out of it. Remember that it's listener supported. If you can, there's links in the description. I pray that God blesses each and every one of you. And if you're watching this live, there will be a Podbean Friday morning. I'm going to do some news intel sort of thing. And in fact, I just got this idea. It just came to me. I don't know if it's from the Lord or not. But if you're there live in chat and you have a problem or a query, I'm going to see if I can give you a prophetic answer right on the fly. In the way that we're instructed. Anyways, join me for the Podbean. I'll see you on Saturday night. We have our prayer at 8 p.m. on Telegram. Prayer is your biggest weapon. Days are getting dark out there, folks. Join the prayer. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Telegram, right on Radio Channel. And Sunday morning, join for the live Bible study. Until then, actually, I got to figure out a way I want to close this one. This is a hybrid show. Oh, okay. I'm just going to use this one. Remember to love your God, love your family, love your neighbor as yourself, and make a difference in your community.
Right on, right on, right on. Live right.
Live right.
In the real world. Right on radio.
Right on radio.